Hello, and welcome to the Toddcast. For today's topic, we are going to discuss travel, and more specifically, domestic travel, and very specifically, my domestic travel with the family in a camping situation on what I like to call the summer epic journeys. In conversation with Abby, specifically, I want to say post-driving episode, she commented that she was surprised that talking so much as I did about driving, I sort of left out a major aspect of driving as an adult, and that would be the fact that I've driven to, 48 of the 50 United States, basically all the ones that you can drive to, I've driven to them, which is kind of, you know, a big deal, not something that most people can say, and I think it's pretty awesome, and I'm pretty happy and proud about that, but it's also something that I've done and have been doing for a while now, and so I guess doesn't register to me as impressive as it sometimes is to other people. So we're going to rectify that this morning, and talk a little bit about that. So I guess we'll try and go as chronologically as we can. And well, you've met me at this point, and you know that I bounce around all over the place. But we'll get there eventually. Growing up, vacations were not a thing that we took. I would attribute a fair amount of that to us, being of the non-wealthy persuasion, such that there, you know, really weren't funds to, you know, pack up the family and go to a place. I think I'd probably attribute, another portion of it to, us being a family of four. With four children, rather, so a family of six. Look, it's 7:39, and I've had zero caffeine. Math is not a thing for me this morning. You know, Mom, Dad, Dawn, me, Crystal, and Eric, of wildly varying ages. And I can understand why you wouldn't want to take, I can understand why you wouldn't want to take very small children with you on a vacation. I can also understand why you would not want to take teenagers with you on vacation. And that is not necessarily an indictment against all small children or teenagers. I guess it sort of is for small children. you know, if you're an infant, you got no control over what you're doing or what kind of fits you're throwing. You know, and Crystal and Eric, as far as I'm aware, were fairly well-behaved, but they were still, you know, children. Children are inherently a handful. I guess it's a teenager's thing I should be more specific on, because our trips have been, for the most part, with teenagers that have gone well. Certainly had their moments, but all in all, it was fine. I guess what I should say is that I wouldn't want to go on a vacation with Mom and Dad's teenagers, i.e. Dawn and myself. The teen years, Dawn and I existed in a state of constant war, and I know for a fact that I was a royal pain in everyone's ass. So being, you know, trapped in a plane, train, or automobile with me for any extended duration would likely not be anybody's idea of a bonus item. Let alone add, you know, Dawn, Crystal, and Eric to the mix. Seems like a horrible idea. I think another thing probably owed itself to, you know, my whole life growing up. We were a one-vehicle family, as I think I may have mentioned. And generally that vehicle was varied from beater to, wow, we are super lucky that this thing is still, you know, in motion, which does not lend itself to long road trips. We would occasionally take like a day trip, to Piedmont Lake or something like that. But even that wasn't very often. Point being, vacations were not a thing that I grew up with. That wasn't a common sort of standard expected thing to happen every summer. Abby, as I understand it, had a much different experience there. They had a vacation, for all I know, every year. Their family would pack up and head to a beach or other. I am hard pressed to remember what beach it is that they often refer to, but it would generally not just be her immediate family, but also, aunts and uncles and the grandparents. Like, they would all just truck off for a week, which sounds fantastic. As a young person, it just doesn't match my experience. When Abby and I got together, she being the vacationing sort, and me, not that I wasn't the vacationing sort, I just had no experience in it. I was keen to give this a whirl. We wanted to do that, to get away and go do a thing. I should also mention that, pardon me. It wasn't until I got back to Ohio, in my 30s, that I ever went camping. Which is, well, I guess camping in a non-military context. I've done plenty of sleeping in tents and sleeping bags, but they're, the big, what do they call them? GP16s. The tents that's, will fit 16 people in there. If you've ever seen MASH, imagine those tents, but instead of having three officers in it, you've got, 16 enlisted men. That's the kind of tents we rocked. That's the kind of quote unquote camping we did. But like camping for enjoyment, was not a thing that I'd done, which again is particularly surprising when you consider that I, for a period of, I want to say, at least a year, I was in fact a Boy Scout. Never went camping. Went to the church once a week, had our goofy little meetings. Decided that all the other scouts in my troop were dicks, and then, bailed out on that action. But never went camping. And when I moved here, I was living with Beth and Jeff, who enjoyed them some camping. Abby was good friends with Beth. That's how we all came to know each other. Also enjoyed the camping. So I went camping a couple of times prior to Abby and I becoming an item, so to speak. And found out I enjoyed it. It was good stuff. And so when we decided that we were going to go on vacation, we decided that we were going to, drive out west with camping gear and camp our way across, which was fantastic. And I am not going to be able to tell you, what route we took or exactly where we stayed, because that was years ago, and my memory is not that good. Plus, we've done a whole lot of this, and I'm afraid I might confuse one trip with another, and, screw up the whole, record there. We've got pamphlets and receipts, and at some point I will scrapbook this thing, and plot it out properly so that it can be relived by all. Haven't gotten there yet. Have not done my research on this topic before hopping on here, so I'm just freewheeling it. But we went out west. We drove. There's some key points I distinctly remember. We started off. Actually, no, the first year we went to Mount Rushmore. And we also went to Devil's Tower. I want to say we saw, shoot, the is it Crazy Horse, I want to say, is the Native American equivalent of Mount Rushmore, the giant rock carving piece. But we drove from Columbus, Ohio, out to there. I did the driving, because, as it turns out, as an adult, I don't get violently ill, but I do get a touch of motion sickness to where I'm queasy and have a headache, and it just absolutely ruins my day. Particularly if there are any sorts of twists or turns or hills or mountains to be had. If I'm driving, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. Passenger, it's bad news. So I did all the driving. Took us a couple of days to get out there, and our normal rotation is to, head west, stop at IHOP in Indianapolis for breakfast, continue on, drive, until, we're sick of it. Grab a cheap motel for the evening, and then wake up in the morning and generally drive the rest of the way to where we're going. So there have been times where that's been, 14, 16, 18 hours of driving. And there are a lot of people that I tell that to, and they just are aghast. They're just completely floored that, oh my God, you do that? That's crazy. It ain't no thing to me. Like you said, the girls are generally well-behaved. We all generally get along pretty well. We'll put in, a series of podcasts or an audiobook. And the hours just kind of roll by. It's really not as tedious as a lot of people think. But yeah, we hit Mount Rushmore, which was fantastic. It is one of those things that you kind of need to experience, because pictures just don't do it justice. You see it and you're like, yep, that's a mountain, and they've carved a bunch of presidents into it. That's pretty impressive, and that's got to be pretty big. And you just don't even know until you're there and you've seen it. I can't describe it, but it's very impactful when you do get to see it in person. I guess the other thing that is not, maybe it's my experience, or maybe it's not as commonly advertised, but everybody's familiar with Mount Rushmore and the face forward, looking at all four presidents, situation. But there is like a road that sort of goes around and behind it, such that you can see it at an angle to where you're looking at it from its right hand side, so that all you see is Washington, because he's kind of on the corner there. You can just see Washington, which is really cool and unique. And like I said, not something that most people think of. In a Rushmore context. Good stuff. And generally when we're camping, they tend to be sort of connect the dot trips from national park to national park, or equivalent, that national forest or, national wilderness area. Sometimes they're state parks or whatever, but a lot of the parks have campgrounds on the parks, which are A, pretty quality, and B, stupid cheap in a lot of cases. Some of the places you got to really book those out well in advance. For example, the year that we went to the Grand Canyon, you had to book that campsite months and months and months and months in advance. You just can't roll up and hope for the best. I mean, you can roll up and hope for the best, but that's probably not going to work out real well for you. I want to say for Mount Rushmore, we actually stayed at a private place, private campsite, just off the grounds. But you roll in, you set up camp, you go around, see the sights, you come home, you cook up some dinner on the campfire. It's good times. And like I said, it's very affordable. As Abby herself will proudly declare she is a very frugal sort of person. I'm pretty much right along with her on that. And it's a good time for not a lot of money, which works out well, because then you can, you know, use that money for, you know, souvenirs and other, you know, other things. You know, did Brushmore, took a trip off, to, Wyoming to see Devil's Tower, which was fascinating. Once again, you've seen pictures, but it's completely different when you're there. It was nice when the girls were young, because whenever we would go to a national park, the national parks have what they call the Junior Ranger Program, which is essentially where you go and you talk to the park rangers, and they'll give you a booklet, like a little activity booklet, with all sorts of, you know, information and little activities and things to do that all relate to the park and are very educational and fun. Generally, because we are staying in the parks, typically every night, they have a, you know, a ranger talk where there's a campfire and and people gather and the rangers will, you know, have sort of like a lesson, sort of like a little class about, you know, a topic or whatever. And often to be the junior ranger, you have to attend one of those. And when it's all said and done, you know, you get it signed off on by a ranger and they have you do a little junior ranger pledge, and you get a little badge, like a little plastic, you know, pin specific to that park. There were a couple of them that where they were actual patches, which is pretty sweet. But both girls would go through and be junior rangers for, you know, every place that we saw. And we collectively gone to a lot of national parks. I don't know if the girls appreciated that, you know, the pins and badges and kept them nice, or if they're all lost to time because they were, you know, at the early ages, you know, pretty young girls who don't necessarily, you know, hang on to or keep best track of their things, but I hope they did, because that seems like a thing that'd be pretty cool to show off to, you know, their kids someday. I don't know. But yeah, the first trip was out that way, and we crossed a bunch of states off the list. Again, I'm probably going to screw up the order on these, so don't hold me to it. We made several trips out west, chiefly because Ohio is generally Easter-ish, and west is the way you kind of have to go to get to places, but also because we really like it out west. The open space, the long expanses of countryside without a whole lot of cities and nonsense. The weather is generally pretty okay by us. There was a trip where we went to the Grand Canyon, and we drove out to the Grand Canyon over the course of a couple of days. The North Rim, and that trip we also saw, you know, Hoover Dam. We set up camp on, I want to say the big lake there is Lake Mead. Somebody can fact check me on that and call me out if you want. But it's the giant lake behind the Hoover Dam. And, you know, we set up camp and then drove into Vegas for the evening. Went to Circus to, you know, eat at the buffet, because, you know, both girls were far too young to be, you know, actually in a casino proper. But we went and had, you know, the all-you-can-eat buffet and made ourselves sick, and got to walk, you know, around on the strip and see, you know, all the lights and the dancing water thing in front of one of the places whose name I can't remember. Sorry. Casino. I'm sure you can cry yourself to sleep for lack of recognition on your piles of money. And that was pretty awesome. I mean, we saw a bunch of national parks as part of that. We did the thing where you go to where the four corners, where the four states meet up. And don't ask me which four states, because geography, again, 7:56 in the morning is not really going to be my strong suit, but that was cool. We went to Arches. We went to, you know, yeah, there are so many I can't remember the names, and I often conflate the two. Canyon de Che. Yeah, there were a lot of them, and I'm not going to try and rattle them all off or have awkward periods of silence where I sit and try and remember them. We're just going to go with there were a lot of them, and if they were, you know, on the way to each other as part of a general circuit, that's how we did it. And I guess the other awesome thing is Abby, and I could really leave it at that at the end of the sentence, but Abby is the trip planner. She, you know, we kind of agree on, okay, we're going to head this direction. We want to hit these states. If there's a particular park we want to see, we, you know, I want to go to the Grand Canyon. Okay, cool. And she will take it from there. And she will, research the internets and figure out not just, you know, a good path to get us from point A, our house, to point B, wherever it is we're going. But she will also plot the course in such a way as to try and hit as many cool things, as possible. So, you know, oftentimes when we're making those, you know, 14-hour epic drives in one go, it's rarely 14 hours just in a car, nothing else. It's, we're going to drive for about 5 hours, and then there's this wacky thing off to the side of the road that we're going to, you know, pull over and go look at and stretch our legs and whatever. And then we're going to drive for maybe another 4 hours, and then here's this other cool thing. And she's really good at finding cool things. Just, you know, this weird, you know, world's largest fill-in-the-blank, or, you know, the museum of such-and-such. You know, the one that definitely comes to mind is the blue whale. Again, I'd be hard-pressed to know what two locations it was between. Also, I should mention, she rarely tells us about these. She's like, okay, you're going to drive, and here in about 4 hours, I'm going to give you other directions. You're going to get off of 70 West, and you're going to do this. And she, you know, I've learned just to not ask. I trust her that whatever it is she's guiding us to is going to be, you know, pretty awesome. But, you know, we'll go into this little town and, you know, zig and zag and get to a place. And there's this, you know, this lake. And there's this giant concrete blue whale structure, like, halfway into it. You know, used to be like a amusement park. Makes it sound a lot more grandiose and involved than it was, but it was a roadside attraction, and it still was, but it wasn't one that was kept in, like, they stopped maintaining it, whatever company put it there stopped keeping it up quite so much. So, like, you really weren't supposed to be climbing all up into it. Like, it had multiple, you know, levels inside the whale. You know, windows you can look out, and you used to be able to, like, dive off the side into the pond. Like, a lot of that was kind of frowned upon you dealing with because it wasn't official anymore. But it was still in pretty good repair, and it was just awesome. It was like a random thing that you would not expect, and was super cool. And just not, you know, it's not something to break up, you know, the drive, some cool stuff to go and look at and take pictures of, and just good memories. You know, we took a bunch of trips out. You know, there was one year where we basically, you know, said, all right, well, we're going to go hit the Northwest, and, you know, drove up and went through Montana and Iowa, and, you know, went to Seattle. Abby's got some cousins there that we visited, and so, you know, saw Seattle, went up to Space Needle, all that, you know. Ducked down, went to Portland and checked out a bookstore there, and then, you know, dipped down and touched the northern end of California, and everybody got to see the Pacific Ocean, which was pretty cool. There were, like I said, the trip to the Grand Canyon was probably the widest ranging one. Because, like I said, we drove to the Grand Canyon and then to Vegas, and we kind of like did a giant loop where we left Ohio westward on I-70 and kind of straight shot it as much as we could to get to the Grand Canyon, and then we kind of dog-legged south and kind of looped under it and kind of came back that way, and so, you know, passed through, you know, small bit of Texas and Oklahoma and, you know, kind of cut up sort of catty corner northeast that way and knocked a whole lot of states off the list that way. The trip to the south was good. It was better than I expected. If you're from the south, if you live in the south, you like the south, you know, again, I'm glad for you that that works out for you. I am, I guess, a Yankee, and I've spent some time in the south, you know, in Mississippi when I was stationed there. When I was living in Florida, there were plenty of times where I had to come up to work to Alabama and Georgia, and things are just different there and different in a way that are not to my taste, and we'll just leave it at that. But I was not really looking forward to the south. Also, given that we typically do the vacation in the summer, going to the south in the summer implies extra heat and humidity that you're maybe don't mind so much, except that we go on vacation via tent, and that can be unpleasant. So when we planned the let's knock the southern states off of our list, it was sort of planned with a, you know, speedy power tour of the area sort of mentality, but was still pretty fantastic. We started off in New Orleans, which was kind of off season and not stupid with drunken idiots, which is, as an adult, the best way to see New Orleans. If you're a young person and you're a big fan of crowds and beer and smelling like crowds and beer, by all means, go during Mardi Gras. That'll be fun for you. But as an adult, I want none of that. So going in the off season was kind of nice. She got us a hotel that was, like, walking distance to the French Quarter. And we went down and, you know, kind of walked around and got some food. And, you know, the girls can say that they, you know, saw Bourbon Street. And then we went back and the hotel had a pool and it was good times. We stayed on a beach on the Florida Panhandle. That was pretty solid. Like I said, I'm having a hard time coming up with a lot of specific examples because and it's not that we didn't see cool stuff, it's that we saw so much cool stuff, I'm kind of just not able to parse out specifics right now. But we hit all of the southern states, you know, not check them off the list. I mean, some of them, some when I say we've seen all 48 states, we have physically been present in the 48 states. You know, continental United States. We didn't, you know, stay the night in every one of them. I mean, some of them, they were passing, like Oklahoma, we drove through on our way from, you know, one place to another. But we've been there, which is more than, you know, a lot of people can say. So we checked all those off the list. The Northeast trip was fun. Despite it being rainy and kind of colder the whole time, which, again, tent camping, when you wake up every morning, pack your wet tent, put it in the car, do some driving, and when you unpack it, it's still kind of soggy and gross. It's less than fun, but it still worked out all right. I tell you, there's nothing will put you to sleep better than the sound of a light rain on your tent, and nothing that'll kind of make your morning more meh than packing that wet tent, because you have to leave first thing in the morning to get to where, you know, to stay on schedule to get to where you're headed for. But no, that was a good one. I would say that would be the one vacation that comes to mind where teen girlness actually came into play and was mildly problematic. There were some attitudes, which, you know, just, it was fine. No one died or anything, but it kind of made it slightly less fun at points. But, you know, good stuff. Strangely enough, last year's vacation, is where we finally, you know, hit the 48th of the continental U.S., and it was, Michigan. The state that, you know, our neighbor to the north was the last state that we hit, that we could via vehicle. And, you know, prior to last year, I'd be like, yep, we've hit all the continental United States except for Michigan. And people would be like, what the heck, dude? It's right there. And the answer is actually pretty simple. Michigan is not on the way to any other place in the United States. Like I said, we would drive, you know, in paths that would cross through the states on long circuits to get to where we're going. If you're going to Michigan, it's because you're going to Michigan. You're not going to Michigan to then go elsewhere, not if you're coming from Ohio. And so it just wasn't on the path. And last year, finally, we're like, well, let's just do this. And we, you know, got ourselves a cabin in the woods and went up and enjoyed the whole vacation was in Michigan. And it was nice. It was good stuff. The hope, the goal, originally when we started all this, we said it jokingly. Oh, we're gonna take the girls to see all 50 states. And then we started doing it and realizing that it was doable, and we're like, well, I guess this isn't so much a joke. This is actually a thing we're doing, and it's awesome, and let's do this. The original plan, like I said, was to have us hit all 50 states before the girls went off to college. Obviously, one of them is off to college, and the other is not. And odds are that the goal is going to be retroactively adjusted to hit all the continental United States before you go to college, because we did that. One of the children is deathly afraid of flying, which makes Hawaii a little tricky at best. Probably isn't real great for Alaska. I mean, theoretically, you can drive there, but that's more driving than I think I even want to do. You can get a cruise thing, not necessarily into the cruise idea, per se. Fly, you know, kind of flying there and then doing our thing was the plan. So with a child super anxious about flying, kind of put a little bit of a quash on that. The other sort of issue with Alaska is one of the young ladies has decided that, you know, just obviously there, you know, it's the wilderness, so there are bears every, you know, 14 square feet, which is nonsense because we've stayed in bear country and have not ever seen bears, but that doesn't stop her from freaking out about it, and she is just sure that the second we step foot in Alaska, she's going to get mauled by three different kinds of bear. And, you know, when faced with the option of, well, we can force her against her will on a plane, which is going to be terrible, and then force her against her will to, you know, camp in the wilderness in quote-unquote bear country, which again will be miserable, is it worth it? And I think the answer is no. Abby and I will complete the 50 states, but it'll probably be, you know, sans a child or two. And that's fine. Like I said, they've already been to, you know, 48 of the 50, which is more than most people they're likely to encounter are able to say. The current plan is for us all to we need to get to Alaska sometime between now and the time I'm 50, because the plan is to go to Hawaii, the 50th state, for my 50th birthday, and kind of end that out that way. So that should be good. That should be exciting. But getting close to work now, so gonna work on wrapping this up. Point being, done a lot of driving, put a lot of miles on a lot of vehicles, camped all over the place, saw a whole mess of, awesome national parks and local oddities and just all sorts of cool stuff that Abby managed to make happen for us. And just wanted to share that with you, let y'all know, how that went. Before I sign off, again, would like to give a giant shout out and thank you to Abby, without whom none of the previous story likely would have been possible. She puts it all together, and I'm just the wheelman, and we all get to enjoy it. And so, thank you, Abby. That's about all I've got on there. I'm sure if I've forgotten anything particularly noteworthy, Abby will let me know about it, and I'll issue a correction in the future. If there's anything that anyone out there wants to hear me talk about, either in relation to this topic, expanding on some points or other, or something completely different, let me know. You can get a hold of me on the Twitter or the email or any number of other means. Let me know how you feel, and we'll go with that. And until next time, thank you and good day.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.